Okay, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to this is live from the laundry room, Sunday evening, almost 7 o'clock, and I've just got to share the show. Okay, so I'd shared on Podbean on the Podbean group on Telegram. So anybody who wants to come in will know that it's happening. I think Freedom Warrior will come in probably. I'm gonna play some music, I think, just to keep things happening. Let's have a look. Music, background music. Hi, Freedom Warrior. Hi, Lawrence. Feel free to call in, mate, if you want to chat, which I'm sure you do.
All right, good evening.
All right, man, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, sir. I'm good. Just a couple of busy days at work. It was a little bit hectic, and I got a little bit of a cold, but usually when I have a cold, it takes about 2 days, so it's already pretty much on its way out. So I'm all fit again, and now I have a week of a holiday, a little break.
Oh, so you got time to recover anyway. That's good. You're probably just a bit run.
Yeah. Yeah, I was crazy busy at work, and when you work and you're understaffed and you have to do a lot of work, and then there's a little bit, some people get a little bit stressed. And anyway, I just and combined with little sleep, yeah, I sometimes I catch a cold, but always takes about two maximum 3 days and it's gone. So
That's good, man. I haven't been getting much sleep either. I'm struggling to sleep during the night and sleeping about, well, last night was 3 o'clock in the morning. Signal, was it 5 o'clock in the morning I got to sleep? So it's all a bit skewed, but it'll sort itself out.
Yeah, when I had little sleep and I had the whole day to myself, you feel a little bit more comfortable because you don't have a pressure to be somewhere or to have to perform, your job all day. And now, yeah, with work it's a little bit more exhausting because you feel, I felt the second day really like someone was asking me how it was going there. Someone was visiting our place, and I said, yeah, well, I'm a little bit tired because we're understaffed, they could see, and then yeah, at that point I felt really exhausted, but today was easy peasy.
All right, so you've had an easy Sunday, relatively easy Sunday, hadn't it?
Yeah, it's just I mean, when you work in a anywhere in a in a in a the bar scene, a restaurant scene, or especially nowadays when the people want to make money again, the owners of these places, and they push a little bit too much, even if you not have enough people, because they want to make their money quick again.
Yeah, they've got some time, some money to make up from the last 18 months. So they're bound to be
Yeah,
a
these
bit anxious about it.
especially this sector, of course, bars and restaurants have been hit very hard, and I always think it has a tie into the whole, if you will, I don't want to talk too much about politics, but with the whole agenda, like I feel like this is a great place to target because that's where people come together in bars. It's not just drinking, it's socializing, it's telling your life stories, things that happen at work, and that's basically how sort of revolutions start in a way.
Yeah, I think, well, if we are going to do politics and that sort of stuff, I think it's all about the money personally. I don't think any of it's personal against people. It's all about property. It's all about property and money and minerals.
Yeah, I suppose too, mostly. Yeah. But once you're, yeah. But that's general, not just in politics, it's general in life. I think it's also a problem with us as humans that once you get higher, more powerful, you know, it's a very attractive, it's very nice, very comfortable with people doing what you like, or you can get whatever you want. And, you know, that's also what propels anybody. The most corrupt, the most rough people get to the best places sometimes. And the ones who are more, yeah, timid, more shy, they have to work harder at that. And often they never get to that level. So, yeah, it's similar in our life, in our daily lives, most of the time.
Yeah, it's the people who are driven sociopaths who get the top of the pile, basically.
Yeah, you see that everywhere. It's even I noticed that the little things at jobs that I did, when you were going for a break to lunch and you were washing your hands, and I had some colleagues and they just didn't have any patience, just push you to the side and start washing their hands where you were there, washing your hands under the tap. It's like, hey, you know, like, what is this crazy behavior? Just wait. I also have to wait. It's even on the small level, you see this kind of things happening where you think we should be better with this.
Yeah, well, civilized behavior isn't always the way that the human behavior is. But it's natural either way. It's not some people are less prone to be jumping up and down and shouting. And other people do that. So it's not, whichever way it is, it's natural for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose, in a way, that's also true. That's what you, but that's also the point of life, that you learn a little bit, that you don't get stuck in the same behavior, whether it's normal for you or not. And at least I'm always like this. I'm always open. I'm actually quite happy if I learn something. Oh, wow, great. I learned something new. It's good somebody showed me, or that I were observant enough to realize this.
Yeah, that's always a good thing as well.
Yeah, it just feels good, you know.
Yeah, I've been kind of. Well, I've been trying to stay focused on this round table on Tuesday for most of the week, so I neglected the Saturday show a little bit. So the Saturday show was a bit improvised, but it worked in its own way. Yeah.
All right. Well, how long was the show? How long did you do it?
I do an hour on Saturday.
Huh. And what went so well? Did you feel for yourself that what went good?
Well, I think it came together on Saturday morning. Rather, usually I would start thinking about it on a Thursday afternoon, and I'd give myself like a day and a half, and then Saturday I put it all together. But I didn't. Because I was thinking more about the round table than I was on the Saturday show. So it's Thursday and Friday went out the window. So I've only really had Saturday to do it. So it came together quite well, I thought. I stuck with the eugenics theme, which I didn't really want to do. But that's what the material was that I had in front of me. So.
Huh. I said, is this the way you like to prepare for these kind of shows?
Yeah, I like a couple of days to prepare, half a day to put it together, and then just do the show. And usually it turns out to be different to the way I've imagined it anyway, but at least I've had a couple of days to think about it and kind of put things together in a particular order or whatever, a combination of things that I think might work. They don't always, but some of the time it does.
Hmm. Yeah, I hardly prepare actually, but it's interesting if you're really gonna do something serious that you want to do as a creative person, then it's a very good thing to get some preparation done before you do it.
Yeah, sometimes I do it and it's half an hour before the show, it all comes together. But recently I've been doing like allow a couple of days. And
I've
finally decided how to allocate my time to the radio and Podbean. So I'm just going to use Podbean as a place to experiment. And I'm doing three going to do 3 hours a week now on the radio. So that feeds into the process anyway.
Yeah, Podbean is a very good platform. I mean, there's still very little censorship. It's you can do your live shows. You see people come in and go out, and yeah, I mean, now I figured out how also you can see if you see people come into the room and you see later that there's only one person live. You know, okay, everybody's gone again. But at least it's good to be able to do certain shows and have a possibility of an audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. And I was looking at my stats for September, and I've just hit 500 downloads in the States, so I'm happy with that. But that's for the month.
Mm.
But it's still all
oh,
right.
That's not bad.
It's yeah. A good increase on the previous month, so...
Yeah, I'm nowhere near that level, but I'm not also doing it necessarily for the downloads. But it does. If you have none, you would not do it at all. I mean, there has to be some stimulant out there, even, and then you never know. Actually, maybe somebody listens only 5 minutes, so, and it still counts as a download. So it's really hard to pinpoint exactly what is the audience and how much are they really participating in it. But the idea for yourself mentally is good for your own motivation.
Yeah, it's a good. It makes it a positive feedback loop, so it's useful to keep an eye on these things.
Yeah, essentially, it works back to yourself, to your own motivation. At least it's like a placebo effect. Like at least there is someone out there listening, and it's worth keep going. And at some point, some people also encourage you. Like, hey, you actually, I like what you have to say. So that's very nice.
Yeah, and I've now got an audience in Nigeria and Kenya, as well as South Africa. So Africa's starting to open up a little bit. It's not very much. It's only one person, but one download. But at least it's something.
Yeah, what are they particularly drawn to then by what you do?
I don't know which episode it was that it was downloaded, but I've got one from each of those countries in the month. I mean, it's not a huge amount, but. At least there's something happening. So it's not just Europe.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, it's very good that you can see that and that it's a certain motivation. And I mean, yeah, you do this kind of thing also because you do want to be heard at some point. I mean, otherwise you wouldn't be talking to this. But yeah. It is good to see that there is some people out there you can connect with. And some of it is just, at least I find, it's just because they find the information valuable. You thought if more people know this, then it's a great medium also.
Yeah, and I think Podbean, I've got a show going on Podomatic, which is mostly the same thing, but Podomatic's set up slightly differently. So I don't have any, I think I've got 4 followers on Podomatic in the same amount of time as I've got 77 followers on Podbean. And that's because you can't do live shows on Podomatic.
Ah, right.
So it's the live shows that make the difference on Podbean, very definitely.
Yeah, I found it helped. Like I said in another talk we had, like it's like when I started first, I never did live shows. So I just thought it was a joke. And then when I did it a few times... I noticed people interacting, and I got even some positive messages saying, "Hey, I like this," and I just came home or something. And so, hey, that made a change. Like, there is actually, even if you're just somebody from somewhere, to be heard and to also be a little bit more motivated to do your creative thing.
Yeah, and it turns out that for me, I don't know about anybody else, but for me. 1 hour of live show per subscriber. That's how it works. That's how the numbers work. It's almost 1-to-1. It's just over 1 per live show.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I don't have that so much. In the beginning, when I started, that was the case. Especially when I did a couple of different shows, But then I found it a little bit, difficult because you then have different audiences for different shows, and if you do more of some and less of others, it might lose your audience at some place and increase the others at somewhere else. So I like it more if I can put it all in sort of one kind of station for myself. Where, but maybe it probably is possible, but I haven't figured out yet how to do that.
I'm using it for experimenting, so I can do anything basically. As long as people know that I'm experimenting, they're gonna have to put up with me just coming up with random stuff.
No, that's also true. You gotta be also true to yourself, and it's just nice if you do it and people like what you have to say or what you're doing, and I find that very motivating, because if you don't have this kind of platform, it becomes probably difficult. If you just do pre-recorded shows and you put it out there, and you can get also great responses. But I find it very encouraging.
Yeah, the live makes a huge difference. And I've tested Spreaker, I've tested Anchor, I've tested Podomatic, and Podbean's the best out of a lot of them.
Yeah, that's a pure luck. I never heard of it. I just Googled one time because I wanted to get up SoundCloud, and then I Googled like what other options are out there, kind of podcasts, and then I landed at Podbean. Very interesting.
Yeah, so I still don't have a topic for Tuesday yet, but I'll let you know if anything shows up today or tonight or tomorrow. I'll let you know in advance.
Yeah.
But it'll just be whatever you're researching, whatever you're thinking about, just bring that, essentially. Put it on the table and we'll have a discussion about it.
Yeah, this Tuesday, this week I'm from Monday to Friday, I'm actually a little bit on a holiday here. Now, that doesn't mean that I cannot go on my phone, so we'll see. But it will probably be a little bit more complicated, but the week after and all those weeks, as far as I know, I'm just
the following week.
Here, back to work.
No, yeah. It's the first one anyway, so I'm expecting a lot of technical issues and a lot of randomness about how people manage to use Skype. Because I think.
All right, yeah.
But I've invited a friend of mine who's a clinical psychologist, so he likes to talk as well. So if he shows up, I'll be fine. He'll take the conversation wherever he wants to take it.
All right, so that's good. Yeah, I will definitely be there next time when I can. And it's good to try these things and do something different. I was also not able last 2 days to do something for myself, my own. I think I did the last Friday night. I did one last show, and then I was just too exhausted. So I left it. But it's also good sometimes to leave it a little bit.
Yeah, the week I took off for my birthday, I had more subscribers than when I'm doing live stuff. So that contradicts what I've just said, but that's the way it worked.
Yeah, I also sometimes think it's good to give some rest, because there's already, we live in a world of over-information, and I really scaled down like almost full stop, like 80 to 90%. I stopped the information train because it was just too much. All these apps and all that.
Yeah, I'm very
things
selective.
Online, and
I'm quite selective.
Just needed a break from that.
Yeah.
There you go, Ed.
Yeah,
it becomes too much, and you have to follow your own heart, your own feeling. Like, you don't use that anymore.
Well, I'm limiting what I do to mainly old TV shows on there. I mean, I do have a look at what's happening, but I'm trying to keep it just to entertainment, old movies and old TV shows.
And just as your own thing, or you're just watching it, you mean? Or you do your own work there on Ambitude also?
No, I'm after a channel, but I don't really, I haven't uploaded anything recently. I've just started uploading to Odyssey, so I'm uploading some stuff there. I've got a channel on BitChute, a channel on Brand YouTube, and a channel on Rumble. But Rumble, I couldn't find an audience there. BitChute, there's a little bit of an audience, but not much. And Brand YouTube, there's not much of an audience for me at the moment. I mean, it might change when their demographics change. But the people who are on there are activists, so they're looking for like more political, more kind of freedom-based stuff rather than the entertainment-based stuff that I'm doing at the moment.
Yeah, you have to also know where to go to find your crowd. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably more your crowd than it is mine.
Yeah, sound of it. But yeah, I also want to do many different things, and I'm gonna definitely try, because politics is not really my passion. It's just more out of necessity a bit. But I definitely want to do also the things that I really more enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, you'll find your audience.
Yeah, it's interesting. Once you do what you really enjoy, you attract it more automatically.
Yeah, there's an element of that. It takes a bit of time, though.
Yeah, but it depends how much. I mean, yeah, it depends a little bit how much time you have and how much you're willing to put in there. And when it becomes more a passion, you always find more time also.
Yeah, that's true.
So I noticed that, and that's what I learned from, actually, this year, January, I started a little bit. I subscribed in December, last December, and then I think I mentioned to a friend of mine that said, "Hey, I just by accident had a subscription for a whole year of Podbean, because they just subscribed it and just wrote it off my credit card." And I was then, at that moment, didn't have so much money, so it was like, okay, that was nice, but also not so nice. And then a friend of mine, he gave me the money, he paid it, he sent it to my account, and said, yeah, this is for your subscription and good luck. And now I'm here.
Right, yeah, you made something of it, there's no doubt about that.
And, I mean, just for me to, I mean, sometimes when you do a show and people just come and go, it's like, oh, it doesn't matter, at least you have a few downloads, so that kind of keeps you going, and the more you develop, the more you'll find your way, and then you will draw in the bigger audiences.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that this round table will open some doors for me as well. It seems to be at the moment as a potential for working with this local guy. I'm still waiting for the introduction, but I've been promised an introduction, so I'm assuming it's going to happen at some point. And he's a journalist with an interest in a local TV studio, so that's got potential for doing things a bit more professionally. If I can find out, I haven't got any money to pay for anything, but I can maybe come to an arrangement or do some work for them in exchange or whatever.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, it's I guess it's a good thing. You can at least, it's like another window opening, you know, and while you're doing what you actually enjoy doing.
Yeah, exactly. So rather than being stuck in a call centre for the rest of my life, I think I'd rather be sat behind a desk with a camera pointed at me or a microphone pointed at me.
Yeah, that's good. That's also the thing I'm also kind of learning now. You always get so schooled in life that you have to do certain things a certain way all the time, and to be, you know, almost afraid to be ending up outside the system. But once you can manage to get over that fear and follow your own desire, your own heart, yeah, things actually are different than what we are told.
Yeah, and the entertainment business is all about freedom, so I think that's the place I need to be anyway, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, art, entertainment and artistic world is usually free, pretty much. At least it used to be. It's getting a little less, but yeah.
I don't think there's many artists and media people that would put up with being told how to do stuff. They might compromise a little bit to get the show happening, but they won't. I don't think they'd compromise 100% with it.
No, and you find other ways. Usually you start to change your words or your phrasing, but you're still talking about what you wanted to say if you have to deal with censorship.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, if you're working with people and somebody's funding what you're doing, you've got to compromise from that situation as well. If you want funding, you've got to give people a certain amount of what they want to get the funding.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, it used to be in Hollywood, the main actors would do one big Hollywood movie and then an art house movie. So they were funding the art house, like the small scale stuff, from the income from the Hollywood movies.
Yeah, that's good, but that awareness moved away as people became richer and famouser and probably more arrogant. Sadly.
No, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of people still do that, man. There's a lot of people still do that.
Yeah, that's true. There's a couple who still do that.
More than a couple. That's more or less the standard way to work in Hollywood, I think.
Still?
Yeah, I think so.
That they go really... Yeah.
Yeah, and people go from New York theatre projects that are basically self-financed or whatever, back into Hollywood, make a movie, pay the bills, and then use the rest to finance another project. And that's a fairly standard way to do it.
Huh. Yeah, but you don't... Maybe last few years more, but I didn't see a lot of big names. Or maybe I'm not up enough on all the movies. Could also be, but... I didn't see a lot of Bruce Willis types playing in art house movies. But maybe my knowledge is too limited on that subject.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know about after COVID, but certainly before COVID, there was a good number of people doing that sort of routine backwards and forwards. And it's a way to finance it. Apart from anything else, you've got to have funding to do stuff. So if you want to have the money, you've got to compromise to get the money and then do what you... The fact that you've got the money means you can do what you actually want to do. So I've got no problem with compromising to get things to happen.
Yeah, that's true in that sense. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. If you talk about movies, wasn't it more... Didn't it start up more as a sort of an art, because the whole thing, the development of it was in itself a sort of art, and then starting to use it in a certain way, and then it became true entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, it was just experimenting with film cameras, basically. It's like it's a new invention, you experiment with it. Same as people are experimenting with virtual reality now.
Yeah. Yeah, it has gotten terms of the technique incredible. Also, with the sound recording, I'm often amazed. Like, whoa, how the tiny tools you can record so clearly. You could go to a forest and do a recording of you singing and playing a guitar or something, and you can get a really big quality of a recording. It's incredible.
Yeah, man, it's the same with like IMAX movies. The way they film them, and Even what they're doing with 3D. I mean, I've never seen a 3D movie in the cinema, but they film them in parallel, don't they? They film extra sequences and do tricky technical things to put everything together.
Yeah, but 3D, I have to say, I didn't see a lot. I saw maybe 10 3D movies, but the only one that impressed me was the Alice in Wonderland movie with Johnny Depp in it, in 3D. That one was actually well done. It was really that you had to film some real visual depth in it, and that was enjoyable. But other than that, I really, the other 3Ds I saw didn't really impress me too much.
As I say, I've never seen any at the cinema, but they put a lot of effort in, so they must be doing, and it's boosted the audience for the cinema no end, I think.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. What I saw, I wasn't too impressed, but I didn't feel like it added something. But maybe, yeah, I haven't been to these kind of 3D movies also for a long time, so maybe it's now probably even better. But what you can do in terms of filming also, yeah, it's only if you watch the way they film nature films from the 90s till now, whoa, it's incredible what they can do now with these tiny micro cameras and super slow-mo, and incredible how you can film now.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. The technology affects all of it. So to an extent, art is dependent on technology.
Oh, yeah. And did you ever watch, what's his name, the Swedish movie maker? Come on. Bergman, yeah. Ingmar Bergman. Did you watch any of his movies?
Haven't seen anything. Well, I've seen stuff along the way, but I haven't remembered it as Ingmar Bergman, so.
Yeah, I actually wanted to watch one tonight again. Some of them were on YouTube still. What's the famous title of him? It's a beautiful movie about people coming back from the Crusades back to Sweden, and it's all filmed in black and white, and then one of the soldiers who come back has a whole philosophical discussion about life and the meaning of life. And then there's the Grim Reaper is coming to get him, and he's playing chess with him, and he's giving him some time to live. And it's a really beautiful movie, actually.
Sure, the Ingmar Bergman movies are on YouTube for free, are they, or do you have to pay for them?
No, the ones, no, 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 I have to check, but they were free, the ones I saw. Not always in the very best quality, obviously, but I remember a couple of years ago when I had a cool colleague who was also like me, and we could have whole discussions about anything, and I also watched a movie with him, and I was also impressed, like, oh, this is a real, it's cool to share a moment with somebody who also understands.
Yeah, I used to go to a cafe in Newcastle. This is about 15 years ago now, but there was a couple of women running a cafe that was associated with an art gallery and a cinema down on the quayside. I think it's run by a photography cooperative, a filmmakers cooperative, and they did a showing of the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari in there with a live accompaniment, live score. And that was really impressive. So it's like old school black and white movie with a cello and keyboard accompaniment.
Yeah, that is nice. Yeah, it's always nice to have these joys of life where you have these great art projects and getting together. I always enjoy also this getting together in these kind of art places or small places, and you can just drink a cup of coffee and have a little chat and then watch a good movie and then eat some pie or something afterwards. But I always like that ambience. That's actually what I like about working in that kind of environment, serving people a coffee or a beer and, you know, having interesting conversations. That's the kind of scene I also like.
Yeah, there's actually three charity setups that are movie theaters in Newcastle. So there's the one down on the quayside that I was just talking about. There's another place called the Star and Shadow, which is just on the outside of the east end of town. It's walking distance from the center of town, but it's out of the way. You've got to know where it is. And then there's the one in the center of town, which is a bigger one, which is the Tyneside Cinema, which is set up as a charity as well. So that's three in a small town. It's a remarkable thing.
Yeah, it's always nice. Also here in Amsterdam, you had a lot of now they're slowly disappearing, but you had a lot of these small theaters, and really old little theaters where you could go and watch a movie, have a little drink, and there's so a lot of them still exists, although it's just for the art house, and it's just nice, just like, whoa, there was some real, the atmosphere is different than the big commercial ones. It's very different, actually.
Yeah, I mean, at some point I might volunteer at the Star and Shadow. I've been thinking about that for a few years and I haven't quite done it yet, so it's on my list of things to do.
Yeah, well, do it. Indeed, yeah. If you feel strongly enough about it, and it's good to put yourself to get to that point. It's always learning that, like, about yourself also, when to act and when to change things.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm kind of into avant-garde music and avant-garde movies at the moment because of that Andy Warhol show that I did a couple of weeks ago. It's put me on this kind of weird experimental mode. So I'm more into that. I'm kind of moving in that direction. I don't know why exactly, but I am.
Yeah, sometimes you don't need to know why. It's just more like a feeling you have to do it, and then you just do it, and then you learn from it. That's for me always the whole idea of doing anything in the first place. So to learn something new.
Yeah, or just doing it because it's there to do.
Yeah. There's all kinds of ways. So. Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds all good.
All right, man. I think probably we've got a natural wrap-up point there.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty much.
We've covered a fair bit of ground, but different stuff than we normally do.
I just don't want to. Your show was also not really about politics, and I didn't really follow much of it the last days, apart from doing what I had to do with my show. But yeah, it was good to have a talk also.
All right, man.
But I still think the show has a good potential also, and I think we can make really can make something out of this.
It'll develop. It's got a huge amount of potential in it. I still think I might have to change the time to a bit later, but I'll wait and see.
Yeah, we'll make something out of it, at least. I really like this kind of this show, the title and all of it. Sounds very interesting.
All right, man, I'm going to wrap it up at that point.
All right.
So I'll catch you at some point next week, no doubt. By the time you've been in the woods for 4 days, you'll have your phone out of your pocket, I can guarantee it.
I probably will. Right. Have a good evening, and I'll talk to you next time.
All right, man, take care. Bye bye.
All right.